tonight I was hoping that we could look at a word from the Word, but particularly one particular phrase or set of words that are closely related. There are many things within the New Testament that are important for us, of course. But one of the most important things that we have to consider is, how do I define myself? How do I view myself? And as a way of explaining what we mean by that, we live in the country of America, of course. And here in America, we have people with all sorts of different backgrounds. And so sometimes some people will say, well, I am African American, or I'm Mexican American, or I'm Irish American, or I'm this or that kind of an American. And when they do that, of course, they put the emphasis on the part that makes them different from the other Americans. And then you'll have some people say, well, I'm just an American. I just want to be American. I don't want all those, some people call them the hyphenated Americans. I just want to, can't we all just be Americans because we all live in America? Well, I want us to think about that in terms of our Christianity. And I know some people think of that in terms of denominations. Well, I'm a Baptist Christian, or I'm a Methodist Christian, or I'm a Catholic Christian, or this or that or the other. That's not what I'm talking about, though. When I ask you, who are you? How do you define yourself? What's the first thing that you think of? Is it, well, I'm a man or a woman? Is it, well, I'm a mother or a father, or I'm a brother or sister or a husband or a wife, or a child of my parents? How do you define yourself, first and foremost? What's the first thing that you think of when you think about yourself? Do you think about your job, maybe? Oh, well, I'm retired, or, well, I'm a school teacher, or I'm a doctor, or I'm this or that. Whatever I do, is that how I define myself? Do I define myself by that nationality, that racial background? Do I define myself by that? What do I think of first when I think about who I am? Well, tonight I want to encourage us that as we think about who we are, the first thing that we should always think of, first and foremost, I'm to be a child of God. I'm a Christian. That's first. That overshadows everything else. Whether I'm a man or a woman, whether I'm young or old, rich or poor, whether I'm black or white, I'm Oriental, I'm Russian, I'm from South America, that doesn't matter. I'm a Christian first. And I think the reason that we need to focus on that is that we need to be reminded of our vocation. You know, we have here in Butler, they call it the Talmore Vocational School. And a vocation is basically, I guess you would say, an occupation, a job. Some might call it even a career. But it's something that you can do, that you can make a living at. Of course, we need to know how to live as well as how to make a living. And that's one of the things that we need to focus on. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1 tonight. I'm reading from the King James, where they uses the word vocation here. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now, other translations translate that vocation as calling. The phrase calling is used as well to describe this. But when we think about a vocation, when we think about a career, you see, when we talk about being a Christian, it's not just something we do temporarily. It's not just something we do part-time. It's a full-time job. It's a career. It's a lifelong pursuit. It is, in fact, a calling. And somebody said, well, but I'm not a preacher. Well, we're not talking about a preacher. Some people think that if you're called, you must be a preacher. No. All of us who have become Christians were called. The Bible is very clear in that. Ephesians 4:4 says, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. All of us, preacher, elder, deacon, Bible class teacher, mom, dad, brother, sister, all of us who are Christians have been called by the gospel of Christ. We're called to a vocation. There's another word, the of a job, a work, an endeavor, a career. But there's another word that we don't use very often, which would be avocation. A lot of times when you put an A in front of something, it makes it the opposite of what it was. And that, and a lot of Latin words do that. And that's the way it is with vocation. Vocation is a job, a work that we do. But an avocation is a hobby. And unfortunately, a lot of us, when it comes to Christianity, consider it an avocation. We consider it a hobby. We consider it something that we do on the weekends, instead of considering it my lifelong ambition, my lifelong calling to be a Christian, to be the best Christian I can be. So the question is, when we think about ourselves, do I think about myself as a preacher who's a Christian, or do I think about myself as a Christian who's a preacher? Does Alex think about himself as a dentist who's a Christian, or does he think about himself as a Christian who's a dentist? Does Maddie think about herself as a retired mother and grandmother who's a Christian, or does she think of herself as a Christian who's retired from some of the physical work, the paying kind anyway, and is a mother and grandmother? You know, how do we think about ourselves? What do we put first? Because whatever we put first and whatever we think of ourselves as first, that's what's going to get the most attention. And I bring this up because, you know, and I mentioned myself as a preacher. I know a lot of preachers who aren't Christians. I know they come to church, but they're not Christians. They preach because it's a job and they can stand up and talk well. But they're not Christians. And the same thing can be true of any other occupation. If we're looking at an occupation to make money and to make a living. But when we're talking about how we live, we're talking about our vocation. Look at what he says there again in Ephesians 4 and verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Paul considered himself to be imprisoned. He didn't consider himself to have a lot of freedom. Now, he had voluntarily entered into that prison sentence, and it was a permanent one for life. But he says, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. When we're called to be Christians, it's a job. It's a big job. And we have to walk worthy of that calling. And that makes it even harder. Because it's not easy to be a Christian. It's not easy to have the right attitude. It's not easy to say the right things and to not say the wrong things. It's not easy to love the people who hate us and our enemies. It's not easy to be a Christian. But there's no higher calling in this world. I was listening to a talk show the other day. Somebody was talking about how they were going to go down to the Gulf and pick up tar balls and save the beaches. And they said, "And what are they talking to the talk show host?" Said, "Well, what are you doing to help?" And so the talk show host goes on and on about how I'm doing this thing and I help with, you know, muscular sclerosis or, you know, whatever, that, you know, do these telethons and all these things. And they're all good things, I'm sure. All, you know, both of them, you know, picking up the tar balls or helping raise money for the American Cancer Society. They're all good things. But on the final day, on the day of judgment, God's not going to ask, "How much money did you give to this charity or that charity?" He's not going to ask, "What did you do to save the ecosystem?" What He's going to ask is, "Were you obedient to Me? And what did you do to bring others to Me?" Those are the things He's going to be concerned about. Did you love Me and your fellow man? And of course, some of those things might kind of overlap into some of those things, like the, you know, helping to cure a disease with, you know, financially helping out in some way or whatever. Helping the environment can help others in some way. But sometimes we get so wrapped up in the physical side of life that we forget that our calling is a spiritual calling. And it is far and away more important than anything that we do physically. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. It's not just the average run-of-your-mill phone call that you get. It's a special call. It's like, you know, the president has that little red phone on his desk, you know, and if that one rang, he'd pick that up, you know, because that's an important call. I don't know if they still have that red phone. I know they did during the Cold War. They always had that red phone. I don't know if we still got that one or not. But that was a big part of it. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9, Paul talks about the fact that God has saved us and called us with an holy calling. A holy calling. See, this is something special. I know some people feel called to some degree to whatever occupation that they, you know, some people just, they have a knack for cooking and for food, and so they just feel called to run a restaurant. Maybe somebody else just loves children so much, a young lady loves children so much, she just feels called to be a mother and to stay home and take care of those kids and raise them up. And that's all good and fine. A man may feel like his calling may be to be a lawyer or a doctor or whatever his calling may be. Maybe it's to play sports. So he might be disappointed, though, because not many people get to make it to that one. But he has this idea of what is his calling. Everyone, they think, "Well, this is what I'm best at. This is what I can go do. This is what I feel drawn to." But when we're talking about God's calling, We're talking about a high calling. It's a holy calling. Hebrews 3:1 says we are partakers of the heavenly calling. There's no way that any job on earth is more important than that calling. I know, I've known, because I'm a preacher, I guess I have some preacher friends. So I know a little more about a preacher's job than some other occupations. But I know some preachers who have needed to quit preaching because they were losing being the kind of person that they should be, the kind of Christian that they should be, because they were allowing certain aspects of being kind of like a church administrator to overshadow the fact that they were supposed to be Christians. And I've known people who had to give up jobs because it wasn't something that a Christian could do. And I've known people who've had to turn down, maybe not had to, but chose to turn down higher paying jobs or occupations or opportunities because they wanted to serve the Lord better and thought they could do so better in another situation. And we've got to consider that when we're thinking about ourselves as Christians first, when that's our job, when that's our occupation, when that's our calling, then everything else we do and every choice we make is determined by how... We've got two choices here. How's this one going to help me be a better Christian? How's this one going to help me be a better Christian? Okay, which one's better? Which one's going to help me to fulfill my occupation as a Christian? You see, because I've known other people who made the wrong choices. They made the choice that moved them away from other Christians. You ever take a hot coal out of a fire and throw it off about 2 or 3 feet? What happens to it? Dies out in a hurry. And I've known some Christians who moved away from other faithful Christians to a place where there wasn't any for a job opportunity. And they would have been better off if they'd have taken a job at McDonald's and stayed where they were, where they could be around other Christians. We've got to consider. So Matthew 6:33, Alex mentioned this to the young guys in our men's class this evening, that seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's first. In every choice that I make in my life, how is this going to help me do my job of being a Christian better? And if it's not going to help me do my job of being a Christian better, why am I doing it? What's the point? If I want to be the best Christian I can be, then I'm going to make the choices in my life that are going to lead me to being a better Christian. We have this opportunity. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 11. We'll close with this. And I know we're getting out early tonight. Aren't y'all glad? I know you are. That's to help you be better Christians. You figure out how. 2 Thessalonians 1:11. He says, wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness and the work of faith with power. Paul says that we need to be praying for each other constantly. I know we have on our prayer request list decisions. But you know, all of us each and every day make decisions that either make us better Christians or poorer Christians. Just like in a job, some people make choices that cause them to be better at their job. You know, they take those opportunities for extra training. They work the overtime hours. They ask the boss more questions about how to do something so they can do it better. All those kinds of things. And other people run in at the last minute, clock in. Soon as time's out, they clock out and run off as fast as they can and don't want to know anything else about anything and just glad to get away. And sometimes we're the same way with the church, with being a Christian. We want to know what's the least I can do and still get my paycheck at the end of time. How little can I do and get into heaven? That's the wrong question. That's the wrong question. That's showing that we've got the interest in the wrong thing. We need to be asking, what more can I do? What else can I learn how to do that I don't already know how to do? How else can I grow? And what else can I learn? And what more can I be than I already am? It's a vocation. It's a job, no doubt about it. And unlike other jobs, there's not a retirement age. We don't get to say, oh, I'm 65, I'll stop and start drawing my spiritual security now. Then work that way. Christianity is kind of like marriage. It's till death do us part. We live our entire life. But, as they've said, the retirement plan is out of this world. Because we have the opportunity to have a home in heaven. Not just to enjoy an abundant life here on this earth. And we can. The problem many of us have that we struggle and do not have an abundant life is that we are constantly fighting within ourselves between our physical labors and our physical interests and our spiritual labor and our spiritual interests. And that war is constantly going on within us, and it makes us miserable because we know that the spiritual thing should be more important, and yet I really want to do the physical thing more. And so I do the physical thing and then I feel guilty because I know I should have done the spiritual thing. Or I say, well, you know, I know I'm supposed to do the spiritual thing. So I do the spiritual thing, but the whole time I'm going, well, I really wish I'd rather be doing the other thing. And so we're miserable that way. But if we will truly put our focus on our job as a Christian and do that first and foremost in everything, we'll find that all the decisions of life get a lot easier. Because we don't have to be thinking, oh, what do I want to do? What do I want to do? Because it doesn't matter what I want to do anymore. What does my boss want me to do? God's my boss. What's He want me to do? You know, prisoners have, and Paul talked about himself being a prisoner of Christ. A prisoner doesn't have to make a whole lot of decisions. Prisoner doesn't have to worry about what to wear every day. Got one outfit they're going to wear every day. Prisoner doesn't have to worry about what they're going to fix for lunch. They're going to eat what's served. Prisoner doesn't have to worry, well, where am I going to go today? Not going to go anywhere. I'm a prisoner. And when we are prisoners to the Lord, that doesn't mean we don't ever go anywhere or, you know, have change clothes or anything. But from a spiritual standpoint, we don't have to worry about those decisions. And we're prisoners of the Lord. And the Lord's already sat down and this is what my prisoners can and can't do. This is what my servants can and can't do. And if we're His servant, we're His prisoner, okay, that's what I do. It takes a lot of decision making out of our hands and causes a lot less stress and a lot less worry if we'll allow that to happen. The problem comes in that we want to call ourselves the servants of the Lord, call ourselves the children of God, but we still want to run our own lives. And it didn't work that way. It won't work that way. That'll make us miserable. It's kind of like being employed and trying to be self-employed at the same time. You got to make up your mind. Either you work for the boss or you work for yourself. One of the two. Can't really do both at the same time. It won't work. If you're here tonight and perhaps you haven't been fulfilling your job, your calling, as you should, focus on the right things. Seek that first. Be a Christian first, and then whatever else. Now, I'm not an American Christian who happens to live in America. I'm glad to live in America. It's better than a lot of the other choices, although I'm not so sure where it's going. I heard four Christians were arrested the other day just for handing out some tracts, standing on the street corner handing out tracts in Dearborn, Michigan. They were arrested because some people didn't like that. I'm not sure where we're headed. But for now, it's still better than other places. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you haven't filled out your application, so to speak, and gotten a job with the Lord. If you're here and you're not a Christian, you can become one tonight. If you are a Christian and you need the prayers of the church, you can respond as well. If you have a need, we ask that you respond as we stand and as we sing.